Well, praise the Lord for those baptisms. That's an incredible thing to see six people, however many number it is, anybody getting baptized. And I just want to mention, if you've ever wanted to, as I don't remember her name, but she said she was scared. If you need to be baptized, if you're saved but you haven't get baptized, I want to encourage you, call the church tomorrow. Schedule it for next month. Every second Sunday of the month we do baptisms, so you're welcome to join in and get baptized yourself. To all of you that are here, welcome. Many people are first-time guests. I know we gave out some gifts, and we're thankful for that. My name is Randy Foster. I'm I was the associate pastor. I'm now a retired pastor. I stepped away from this church for medical reasons, and I just kind of want to give everybody a real quick update. And I want to thank you all for prayer. Prayer is what's keeping me alive. I'm not taking any kind of medication for my brain cancer. But I am thankful for your prayers. Please don't stop. But let me just kind of where we're at, where my journey is at. You see, I got it written down here because I don't forget it. 4 years, 11 months, and 8 days ago. 4 years, 11 months, and 8 days ago, I got diagnosed with brain cancer. That's an incredible feat. And it's because of your prayers. Thank you for that. It's keeping me going, and I don't know how much longer I've got. The Lord does, but I'm thankful for this church and for the prayers at this church and the support that you've given me, my family, and everybody. So thank you. And I get a chance to say that now because I'm standing up here in front of you. But anyway, I praise the Lord for that. We're going to get into a message here this morning. Pastor Brian has asked me to speak and kind of encourage you regarding the Bible conference which starts up this week, and so I want to do that. Now, I don't have handouts. I didn't have a note. I mean, I usually do, but this time I don't. But I don't have a title. I didn't have a title when the bulletins got printed, so I can give you a title for the message today. It's called Sharing the Word with the World. That's what I'm going to be talking about today. So Brian, as I said, he asked me to speak this morning to lay down and explain the foundation for why we have a ministry for making Bibles. This is a rare thing, in many churches don't do this, where we make Bibles we started off once a year. Now we make Bibles as often as we can. And I want to give you a vision for why you would want to be a part of the Bible conference and maybe even part of the Bible ministry team as well. The goal of Word First Bible Publishing is to produce Bibles, John and Romans, booklets, and New Testaments, and tracts, any kind of thing that's got scripture in it, that can be supplied to missionaries and churches around the world, because they need them to be able to minister and to evangelize their field. Word First partners with many mission ministries around the world to have the text printed, and then we are assembled here, and then we ship them out to the destination, and then they're distributed as much as possible. So this conference is really two things. It's the kickoff, what we're going to be doing the next 12 months, and it's to celebrate what we've done the last 12 months. So that's part of it, but there's a lot more to it as that. The conference actually starts on Wednesday. This is the change in the way we have been doing things for the last few years. We're going to start doing it on Wednesday, the 11th. After the service, we'll start making Bibles, and your involvement is really important and is needed to help the Bible team get the thousands of Bibles and different pieces of material ready to go and ready to send out to meet a dire need around the world. But maybe you're asking, well, why do I need to be involved? Well, you know, maybe you're wondering, why do I need to be here next week? Because a lot of people maybe feel like, well, I can skip that. But I'm going to encourage you not to skip that. I want to give you some reasons for that. But before I get to that, I want you to know one thing. You do not need to come to the conference. You can skip it. I'd rather you didn't. And I hesitated to say whether or not you can just not come. I know Pastor Bob is not happy that I just said that. But listen, you don't have to be there, but you should want to be here. You should want to be involved in getting Bibles to the world. And it's important that you do that. So I want to give you some reasons, both for the church and for yourself, why we do what we do. Probably the most important thing, or let me just summarize the whole thing right here in this one statement, but we're not done, is we're a mission church, and we are a mission and missionary supporting church that desires to put into the hands of missionaries the tools needed to win the war for the lost. There's a lost world out there, and we're not abandoning them. We should never want to abandon them. We should want them to have the Bible that you have. We should want them to have access to the Word of God, access to God Himself. So the Bible team will be transforming this building starting Tuesday. Okay, thank you, Bob. And they'll start Tuesday. We're going to make 5,000 Spanish Bibles. We're going to do 10,000 Spanish tracts. I believe most of that is going to Mexico, to Joe and Amy Hendricksman, and be dispersed from there to all kinds of different Spanish-speaking locations. And then we're going to be doing about 4,000 English Bibles. We're going to get those ready to go. We used to just do the Bible conference once a year, one project, and that was it. Now, we do Bibles practically every month. In the building out back out here, we call it the Armory. We do Bibles every month, or we're working on them. And so we're going to get a head start on some of these requirements or requests that we get. People call us up just randomly or email us randomly and say, can I get a case of Bibles for my ministry? Well, it's kind of hard to print off just a case. So we're going to work now and get a jump on that, get ahead of it. So you can help both Bob and Steve in getting things ready for the conference. And Bob's going to talk more about it, but I'm just going to encourage you to think about it. So when he says it, you'll respond right away. He and Steve need help setting up the meal tent. Everybody wants to eat, so you should help to set up that meal tent. Help moving the equipment and the signatures into the church, preparing the building to do the work, donating food. There's a board out in the lobby that still has little tags on there that you can bring food to the kitchen. So that we can have a meal. By the way, the Pierces are here. Thank you, Dave, for you guys being here. You guys are awesome. Good to have you here. And lastly, you can help financially by covering the cost to get Bibles to their destination, because it's not a cheap endeavor. Per Bible's not a big price, but we got to ship them, and shipping is extremely expensive sometimes to get them across the ocean. Okay, let's pray, and then we'll get into the actual word. That was all introductory stuff. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for those that were baptized today and the testimony of their belief in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, what a testimony that is to see so many people receiving Christ as Savior and being baptized and announcing to the world that they are a believer in your Son and that their life has been changed. We praise you for that. We ask, Lord, that you would speak through me, that you would give me the strength to endure and be able to say what you have put on my heart to say, and to encourage the church in a way that they would want to be a part of the ministry of the Bible team. We ask for your blessings on the day. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let me do this. Let me give you several reasons why we have been actively involved. I can't count. All right, 14 Bible conferences, 14 years we've been doing Bibles. That's a long time, but let me just say this. God has given the leadership of this church a desire to pursue the production of Bibles in order to reach the lost. And so let me take a step back and let me give you some personal experience of myself and my wife, Julie, about how this kind of thing made a difference in our ministry in places around the world. The first time that I ever had a chance to go on a mission trip was to El Salvador. I don't remember when it was, but we went to El Salvador and we gave out tracts. We went door to door, gave out John and Romans, and invited the people to come to watch the Jesus film. And then we went into the city squares and we stood there and we witnessed to people and we gave them tracts and we talked to them and we led many people to Christ. And then so we did that in El Salvador. And we saw a lot of people get saved that day. Then the next time I did that was when in the country of Belarus. And so for 3.5 months, about 3 months, Julie and I were there. And every day we would go into a village. I don't remember the name of the village right now, but every day we would go into that village. We'd take a train down to the village and we would go door to door, and give out John and Romans and invite people to come to a Bible study. And that Bible study was, the goal of that Bible study was to be a church planting Bible study. And some of that got, that happened. Some of it happened, some of it didn't. But we had a good time just going door to door, sharing the gospel with people. And so, and then the lastly was when I was in Zambia, when Majula and I lived in Zambia, and we had a network of churches that we worked through, and we would deliver Bibles to the pastors, and the pastors would give them to the people in the bush, the woods, the village outside of the town. And so I didn't know where these scriptures came from. There were churches in America that were supplying that material to those locations, just like what we're doing now, supplying to other locations as well. If it wasn't for those churches that did that, then God would not have made a difference in those people's lives. They would, the ones that got saved wouldn't have gotten saved. We wouldn't have been there if it wasn't for this, So there's a reason that you should want to be a part of this, because it has an impact. It's not just idle work. It's serious work. So let me give you some reasons as I started off. HBS motivations to do these projects from the Word of God. So the first thing I want to tell you is that we want, the reason that we do this, the reason that we started doing this 14 years ago, was because we want people to be exposed to the reality of the gospel. Too many people have ignored the gospel or no longer accept the gospel, don't want to hear the gospel. But we want people to be exposed to the reality of the gospel and the gift of life. You know what John 3:16 says, pretty common verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The reason that we want to give out Bibles is so we have a chance to share that message, to share that truth. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is the gospel message that saves. If they don't hear the gospel message to receive Christ as Savior, they're not going to get saved. The gospel message contains and explains and is understood in the Bible. The best place for people to get the gospel is in the Word of God. When you see what the Bible says about it. There's so many cultures. There's so many cultures and communities that are obscure this truth. So, because we want people to know that there is only one true God. That's the second reason. We want people to know that there's only one true God. Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, for there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And if you recall the story of Paul going to the city of Corinth in Acts chapter, I'm not sure what chapter he went in right now, but he went to Corinth. And it said that he wandered around the city and he saw all these statues and monuments to these different gods and God's names and stuff. And one of them was to an unknown God. But he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, as he's writing to this church, but to us, there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things and with him and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all things and we by him. What Paul wants you to know, what we want the world to know, is that there's one God. I know that some cultures and some communities think that there's many gods. And they even make their own gods. They carve out of wood, or they shape it out of metal or something, but they make it their own God. There is only one God. And the Bible is very clear about that. There's only one God. Another reason that we do the Bible conferences and we ship Bibles around the world is because we want people to know that the Bible is historically accurate. Too many people say, I don't believe the Bible because it's old stuff, it's not true, and there's no fact. Let me give you a fact. In Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it says, in the days, I'm just going to paraphrase this, it says, in the days some guy named Caesar Augustus. So in the days it was Caesar Augustus, and if you took the time when you're doing your Bible study and said, okay, who is Caesar Augustus, and you start looking it up, you'll find out that he was a real man. He was a real guy. He actually existed. The Bible is not making up names. The Bible is not making up stories. The Bible the Bible contains the truth. The Bible is historically accurate. Christians must have this is what we need to know. I hate to say this because I didn't like history when I was in school. But we need to know history. We need to, you and me, we all need to understand where history, because God works through history and He's communicating to the world in history. And when we see something in the Bible that we can associate with history, then we can tell people that the Bible is true. The Bible is real. It's history, it's historically accurate. And another reason that we want to do these Bible conferences is because we want people to know that they can trust God. The people can trust God, and they should trust God. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Your trust in God and His, and He, you trust in God and He directs you in your life. So you flip that around. If you trust God and He directs you, if you don't trust God, He won't be able to direct you. And I think that's part of the problem with the world today. Because the world doesn't want to trust God, so the world doesn't know what direction it's supposed to be going. You want to know what the problem is with the world? They don't trust God. That's really ultimate. I mean, that sounds like very simple, but it's true, right? They don't trust God. The world doesn't trust God. So how do we change that? Well, we got to give them the Word of God so they'll change their lives. When you share the Word of God, we are teaching others how to trust. When we give them a Bible, we're teaching them how to trust. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 19, that thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made it made known unto thee this day, even to thee. We give a Bible so they can know. We give a Word of God out so that they can know. And when we send Bibles, we are making it known to the world that God cares for them and that they can trust His truth. If you continue on in Proverbs 22, verses 20 and 21, it says, "Have not I written into thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee." God wants us to be a part of getting the Word out. He wants us to, not just sharing the gospel with your family members, but sometimes taking a bold step and being involved in getting the Word halfway around the world to people you probably will never meet until we get to heaven. And they won't go to heaven if they don't know that God is real and that the Bible is true and the Bible is trustworthy. And the only way they can know that is if we ship them one. Another reason that we do the Bible conferences is because we want others to experience forgiveness, both giving and getting of forgiveness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Doesn't that make sense? That's a verse that we should be wanting to let all bitterness, the desire not to forgive is bitterness. So let it all go away from you. The greatest weakness throughout the world is a failure to forgive. And the only way that we can teach people how to forgive is to give them the Word of God. Because the Bible is truthful and the Bible is full of truth. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, he says, tells us that to hear leads to belief. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause, O thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye have heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. When you hear the word, you receive it, and when you receive it, it changes your life. Not hearing the word leads to serious consequences. Let me give you an example of what if you don't listen to what God said, if you don't have His true word. Turn over to Numbers chapter. I'm going to turn there. I don't think I had this. But turn over to Numbers chapter 20, verse 8. You may know this story. This is the story where God tells Moses the people were wandering around and they were thirsty. They didn't have water. And so he said, how do you get the water? And so in verse 8, Chapter 20, verse 8, God tells Moses, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, and thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beast drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and Moses, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must I fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hands, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly. Now, I was reading this actually just a couple of weeks ago, and it was like, there's something changed. Moses missed it. Moses missed the word. God says, speak to the rock. Moses struck the rock. You know why? Because the first time God told him to do this back in back in Numbers chapter 20. We won't turn back there right now. But in Numbers chapter 20, God told Moses to speak to the rock or to strike the rock. And now he's telling him to speak to the rock. He's not listening to God. He's like, okay, I hear you, but I'm not listening. You know how you tell your kids, don't you hear what I say? You know, you're not listening to me. So God wants us to let people know that the Bible is truthful and full of truth. And if you miss a word, you can miss what God is doing. Moses heard God give instruction, but Moses failed to hear what the instruction was actually saying to him. Instead, he assumed the actions of the first time were supposed to be the same as the first time. So the first time he said to strike it with a rod, and the water came out. This time he said to speak. And so the only way that God can speak to people is through his word, the simplest way. So that's why we partner with other ministries to get Bibles around the world. So he failed to act because he assumed what he was to do. Too many people assume what God is trying to say, and they do things. They basically say, well, I think God's saying this, so this is how it's going to be. And God says, no, listen to what I say. Don't assume. The importance here is that everybody needs the Word of God so they can hear the words of God, and not as often as in the case these days to assume what God is trying to say. Often we say we hear God, but we do not believe we're not listening, and so the work we're trying to do is impaired. If we claim to be believers of the Word, but it does not change our behavior, are we really believers? Our goal to publish the Bible and get it out the door is to affect a change in the world by helping the world hear God's word so that they can believe and be changed. One more thing that I want to give, and then I'm going to get a little bit closer to personal reasons. But because we desire the word that the word impacts them as it did you, and that they so deeply want to share the experience with others the way you should desire to do, then I want you to turn to Luke chapter 24. I want to look at this because this is an interesting passage as well. Jesus Christ had already been crucified and he rose again. And then he's walking on the road with a couple of men. Let me find the right place here. Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 30. Two men are talking about, did you not know what was happening? And Jesus shows up and they're trying to tell him, and he's explaining some things to them. And it says in verse 30, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and broke it and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, they looked at each other and said, wow, what an incredible experience. And then they say, did not our heart burn within us when he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? That's an incredible thing that just happened there. Do you desire to share the great burning in your heart? Well, let me back up a second. When you read the Bible yourself, and I'm assuming that everybody reads it at least once a week. I'll give you once a week. But let's say, well, you should be reading it at least every day. But when you read the Bible, does not it burn in your heart what it says? Does it not build up inside you, this is so great. I need to tell somebody about this. I need to share what it says. That's what I'm talking about here. That's what they're talking about. It burned in their heart. It's like, wow, the Word of God, the spoken Word by Jesus Christ Himself, the living Word, says some things to them, and they're like, my heart burns from that. Does it not the Word create a burning in your heart? That's what he's saying in verse 31. Their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. And does the reading of the Word of God, doesn't it open your eyes in verse 32? And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked to us by the way and while we were opened up to us the scriptures? If you answer yes to any of this, then block off your calendar and be a part of the conference. Because what we want is for the people that receive the Bibles to have that same burning. Their eyes opened up the same way your eyes were opened when you started reading the Bible and your heart was burning. We want that for them. That's what I want. I want them to burn in their hearts when they read the Bible and then see what it says. So you should plan on being a part of the Bible conference, making the pages are all in order, because nobody wants to read a Bible when their pages are out of order. You start on page 5, and next thing you turn it over, now you're on page 76. That will mess things up. But you want to be a part of that. You want to make sure the glue is applied by the binders properly. You want to make sure the books are cut and boxed properly. You want to help boxes get on the pallet so they can be shipped. Okay, so that's all why HBF is involved. That, as a church, if you've never been part of a Bible conference, why do we do this? We've been asked that a lot. Why do you guys do this? Why do you have a Bible conference? Because, like I said earlier, many churches do not. In fact, there's probably not even 100 churches in the United States that do this or support it in any way out of the tens of thousands of churches there are in the United States. So what does the Bible say about why you personally should engage in the efforts? Why you should be a part of it? Let me give you a few reasons for that. Now go back. You're still in Luke. Go to Luke 10. I'm going to start in verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he might send forth laborers into his harvest. Verse 3, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into it, whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn you again. Verse 7 says, and in the same house remain, eating and drinking such as thing as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. In verse 9, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. So that's a long passage to read, but let me just kind of break it down real quickly for you. In verse 1, Jesus Christ is preparing 70 disciples to be laborers in the field, specifically sharing his word about a powerful and new and needful doctrine that's coming soon. In verse 2, he talks about a harvest. Says the harvest is before you, and that needs for and the needs for us both at the conference and around the world to reach the lost is to gather up that harvest. I won't take the time for this message today to cover verses 3 to 8 But those are instructions for their mission trip. And those are good instructions, especially you get to a country you don't want to eat their food. Just eat it. Anyway, verse 9, where I want to camp out for just a moment. In verse 9, he says, there we find the essence of the reason that we want the Bibles to be in the hands of as many people as possible. We send Bibles and make Bibles, which just happens to be the theme of the Bible, that the kingdom of God is coming. The theme of the Bible is the kingdom of God. In verse 9, he tells us, let me go back to verse 9 again. Heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom, not a physical kingdom. It will be populated by spiritual beings made in the image of God. It's a universal kingdom, while the kingdom of heaven is messianic and earthly. If you don't know about the difference between the kingdom of heaven, just come on a Wednesday night or get in a Bible study or go to D2, because we teach it there. We teach it multiple times. But basically what you need to see, starting in verse 3, you are sent to the sheep that are without a shepherd. You are sent to those who are sick and infected with sin. You are to make it known that the kingdom of God is available through belief of Christ. Verse 9, heal the sick therein. Say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. So what does it make? Why does the lost need? Let me rephrase that. What does the lost need in order to aid in their grasping the meaning of the kingdom of God? They need a Bible. And I was thinking about this as I was preparing this message. As many times as the kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God has been taught in this church by any of the pastors, whether it's a Wednesday night or discipleship 2 class or in a Bible institute or anything, anytime we teach about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, the one thing that's always present is the Word of God. We'd never want to teach about the kingdom of heaven without the Word of God. So how do we teach the world about the kingdom of heaven if we don't give the world the Word of God? Because that is the message. The kingdom of God is coming. Do you want to be a part of the kingdom of God? You need the Bible so you can understand what that is. It's an amazing thing to think about. It's not hard for us in the United States to have a Bible, though. Many countries, though, many tribal people around the world don't have a Bible. But they need a Bible, preferably in their own language, in their what I call their heart language. I spoke about the heart language a while back. Anybody remember what I said the definition of heart language was? Nobody remembers? No, not quite. How you speak to your mother. And I was thinking about that a little bit more. You know why you speak to your mother in your heart language? Because probably in most cases, your mom was the one that started teaching you how to speak. And so you want to talk to your mom in that language. That's a heart language. So people need, you have a Bible. If your heart language is English and you have an English people, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay, one more thing here. Consider the story of Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3 when God was calling his name. And it says in verse 3, for something very sad in 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 7. It says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. He did not know the Lord because he had not been revealed. And when we distribute Bibles, we make it possible for the person to get close enough to know God. And maybe there would be one who got the Bible that you put together. So when we ship a Bible out there, somebody, what we're hoping for is that somebody will get the Bibles that we put together. One of you prayed over as you were assembling it, and they get that Bible and they become like Samuel. They changed their culture. They changed their world. If you have a Bible, let's do this. A little, look at your Bible. Open the Bible and just flip through the pages. Just look at it and think. I want you to think two things. First, I want to do two things. First off, I want you to thank the Lord that you have a personal access to the Word of God. Not everybody has that personal access. And the second thing I want you to think about. Think about the literally millions and billions of people who do not have their own Bible available. Consider what access the world has in getting their own Bible or even a portion of Scripture. If everybody had their own Bible, how much better the world would be? Many, though, unfortunately, cannot afford to buy their own Bible, even at the cost of a cup of coffee or less. It's beyond their income. Because I don't know if you know this, but the average income of most people in the world is about $1 a day. Make $1 a day, and they have to support their entire family on $1 a day. What is that, $30 a month? What is that, $365 a year? That's all they make. And then they're expected to buy a Bible for $10 or $15 or $20. That's why we give Bibles away. But we want them to have a Bible of their own. According to the various translation ministries that are out there, like Wycliffe and Worldview Ministries and Trinitarian Bible Society and others, there are some numbers that I just want to run by you real quick. There's 8+ billion people on the earth today. And it'll probably continue to grow unless we have a really serious war or another serious disease. But there's 8+ billion people in the world, and there are between 3,500 and 7,100 languages around the world. Out of all of those people, only 3,500 languages, between 35 and 7,500 languages. There's estimated only 717 of those languages actually have a Bible, a complete Bible in that language. So as you start with 3,500 Bibles and you work your way down to 717 Bibles, that's all the Bibles that are out there in the language. That's why we want to be a part of this. That's why this week we're going to be hearing from a man who's doing a Bible translation project, and we want to support him as much as we can because he's trying to get a Bible for in his language to his people so that they can know your God. That's what this is all about. Let me just give you a contrasting number to that. Of all of those numbers, 717 languages, 87% of the homes in America have at least one Bible in their home. And half of that is King James Bible. So think about it. I don't know how many Bibles you have in your home. I have probably 6 or 7 or maybe more Bibles in my house. Because in the United States, Bibles are easy to get. You can go to Walmart and buy a Bible. You could probably get a Bible at Casey's. I don't know. I haven't looked. But God commands us to get His Word to the world. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, He says, preach the Word. In 2 Timothy, preach the Word. Now, you may not be a preacher, and I'm not a very good one at this moment, but God wants you to, He wants you to be the communicator of His Word. Let's just use that phrase. He wants you to be the communicator of His Word. Be a part of the Bible conference so that you can help communicate the Word. Get the Word to people's hands. Somebody else will teach them. If they have it, they can teach. Secondly, God commands us to get His Word to the world in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. He says, instruct others. Instruct people in the Word of God. So by the labor of this conference, it is probable that we can help reveal the world, the Word, that they may know the Word. By the labor of this conference, it's probable that we can help reveal the Word that they may know the Lord. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So this is the reasons why we have a Bible conference. And these are some of the reasons why I would like to have everybody commit. You don't have to come for the whole time. You don't have to come for the whole day. You don't have to come at all, but I would like you to come. But if you do come, map out what days you're going to be able to come. We start on Wednesday evening. We have a service and then we make Bibles. We start the process of making Bibles. And then on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, that's all we're doing is making Bibles. And we start on this side of the building, and we put the pages in order, and then we take them over here, we bind them all together with glue, and then we take them out to the armory, and we cut them up and put them in boxes and put them on a pallet and get them ready to ship. There's a place for every person here. to be a part. And not only that, the Bible Conference is a great place to invite your friends and your family. It is a family-operated business, if you want to use that term, that phrase. Your children can be a part of this. Elderly people can be a part of this. There's something for every single person to do. But the more people that come, the more things can get done, and the faster we can get it done, because the 5,000 whole Bibles are Spanish, and 4,000 English Bibles, partially done, that's 9,000 Bibles right there. And then the other material that we're working on as well. We can definitely use your help. We'll feed you. We'll make sure you get lunch and dinner. So please come. Is that right, lunch and dinner? Okay. I don't want to speak wrong. So your help is needed. So consider this an invitation from me and from the pastoral team and the leaders and the Bible ministry. You're invited to be a part of this. Please come. Please be a part of it. Okay, so let's end here with that. But I would like to give a chance to for anybody here that would that maybe not know Christ as Savior can get in the Word with somebody today and get to know Christ as Savior. So let's everybody eyes closed and head down. Let's go to prayer. And let's give everybody here a chance to be able to receive Christ as their Savior. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity to handle your word in such a way that we can affect the world. We want to share your word with the world, Lord. We want to give it to those who don't have access to it in a way that it would communicate your love for them. Because, Lord, we know that you desire for every single person to know that you care for them. You care about them, and you want them to be saved, and you want them to be in heaven with you. And Father, I pray that you would speak to people's hearts today. So let me just say this: if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, we've had a lot of testimony today about the truth about getting saved. We've had people get baptized. They got baptized because they received Christ as Savior. You could do that same thing as well if you've never received Christ as Savior. Don't hesitate today. Don't go out of this room today without settling in your heart that Christ is your Savior and that you're going to live eternally in heaven with God and your Savior. If you do not know Christ as Savior, I want to ask, just raise your hand. We've got people up front here that you can come up to here to talk to them, or they can come back and get you and take you to one of our office spaces. And help you. We have one person raising their hand. Praise the Lord for that. Anybody else? Is there anybody else that wants to say, I want to know Christ as Savior? I want to know at least what the Bible says. Even if you don't make a decision today, you just want to know what the Bible says about how you can get saved. Anybody at all? Anybody at all want to raise your hand? We've had one person to make that decision. Anybody else? Anybody else want to make that decision? Father, I pray that you would move in hearts of every person here, not only to, if they're already saved, Lord, praise you for what you've already done in their life. But let me just say, Lord, I pray that you would encourage every one of these folks here to be a part of the Bible Conference. Even if it's 2 hours, one time, that's a benefit to the project. Even if it's just 4 hours, twice, that's a benefit to the project, Lord. We'll take whatever people can give. But we will get the word out, and we will get it shipped down the road to the person that you desire to hear from you in their language. We pray, Father, for that, and we ask your blessing on the day. And we thank you for those that have made a decision to be saved, to be baptized. We ask you, Lord, just to continue to teach us and to show us and to speak to us. Help us to just serve you in every way we possibly can. We give you the honor and the praise and the glory in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Okay, we're going to take up an offering here in just a couple of minutes, but before we do that, I think Pastor Bob has some announcements that he'd like to give, and he's got some direction regarding the Bible Conference to further correct anything I said wrong regarding the planning of the times or anything like that. So, Bob, come on up.
Getting a little bit excited here. Forgot to get my microphone. So, well, thank you for that message, Pastor Randy, and just reminding us why we do Bibles. And it's already been a great day today. We've seen some people get baptized, and you know, I'm sure they're glad they got baptized today. I'm sure they're excited about it. I'm sure they're glad it's over with. But at the same time, they revealed what had happened to them. They revealed that they've accepted Christ as their Savior, and that's the most important thing in their life. And that's what we want to do by giving out the Bibles, because we want that to continue. So that's us being excited about what happened to us and what God has done in our life. And we want to share that with other people. How do we do that? By getting them the Word of God so they can have it in their hands. So a good message this morning, Pastor Randy. Before I do any announcements, I want to go ahead and pray over the offering, and we'll give back to the Lord a portion of what He's given to us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before You today, Lord, and we just thank You for loving us. We thank You for the salvation that You've freely given to us, even though it cost Your Son His life and His shed blood, and the fact that He died and was buried and was risen. We have the ability to become right with You, and we thank You for that, Lord. And Lord, I pray for all the people that are here today. I pray that each one of us has a relationship with You. And if not, Lord, I pray they would come to that conclusion quickly. But Lord, we come today, and I just want to thank You for what You've provided for us. And I pray that we would just give back to You the portion that we just want to give to You, so Your word can go out, and the things of this church can continue, and we can pay for the bills and all those things that we do give out to missionaries. So I just pray for the offering today that it would be used for Your honor and Your glory. And we just ask and Your blessing upon it, Lord. And in Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right. So while the guys are handing the offering plate around, I'm going to give you a few announcements. We have a lot of announcements going on this week, or have a lot to do. Read your bulletin. There's a lot of things in it. Again, congratulate the people that were baptized today. Again, what a tremendous day it is for them. And so I just want to mention a few things. First, men's conference is coming up. It's about a month off. So for you men, if you're like me, don't procrastinate. Get online and get signed up so you can have a spot. That's coming up October the 11th and 12th. We have a harvest party that's coming up soon. So after next Sunday's main service, there will be a meeting here at the church if you want to participate in the harvest party. And you can also see Nick Laverne and get signed up on how you can help with that. Also, there are several prayer teams meeting today. Check the bulletin for that, or you may know if you're a part of one, you'll know which team is meeting. But I do want to announce, I had an announcement that the Brian Berry prayer team would not be meeting today, so that's one that's not, but the others are still on. And then there will be a meeting for the Monmouth mission trip in the Walking Worthy class today. Ray Blowers will be leading that, so if you want to be a part of that mission team that's going, and maybe you've already signed up, maybe you haven't signed up, go to that class. It's over here on the east side, and you'll find out the information that you need to be about that trip that's going to be coming up here fairly quick. So several things going on. Like I said, read your bulletin. I'm here to talk to you a little bit more about the Bible conference that's going on, and as Randy mentioned, you know, all the reasons why we do Bibles and why we all need to be involved in assembling Bibles. So it's going to start on Wednesday night, and we'll go through Sunday. So again, read that insert in your bulletin for all the details. And we really need everyone's help in assembling the 5,000 Bibles that's going to be going to Joe and Amy Hendricksman in Oaxaca, Mexico. So we'll also be printing 10,000 tracts that will go to them as well. And so also 4,000 English signatures that we're going to get ready for future projects. And like Pastor Randy said, we have projects that come in every day. And so we'll also probably do a couple Bibles for a man starting a church out in Portland. We'll probably be doing that also at the Bible conference, and whoever else contacts me in the meanwhile, we'll probably try to do that also. So we're going to have a great line of speakers that will be speaking each night, so please plan on coming in and participating. And we're going to conclude the Bible conference next Sunday with Joe Hendricksman speaking at the main service. There'll be no ABF hour next Sunday because I'm sure we'll all be worn out from assembling Bibles this week. So we'll just have one service next week. And I want to finish off with this. I'm going to need 10 to 20 men to come and talk to me right after service to sign up to help for setting up the tent and tearing down the tent. So I need 10 to 20 men to actually come and contact me and tell me they'll be here to help with that. So also, if there's any food that's on the board out in the lobby that's still listed that we need, if you would grab that off of that board that's out there and take that home and bring that food with you to Bible conference before Wednesday night, I'm sure Dave Branham would appreciate that. So a lot of things going on, and be a part of it. And as Randy said, getting the Word of God out is... It's really the church's job to do that, and a lot of churches don't do that. And so, at the same time, we have the ability to do that. We have the machines, we have the signatures, we have places to send it to, and so we are capable of doing that. So get in and be a part of that, because we need everyone's help. So with that, I'm going to have everybody stand up, and I'm going to close in prayer, and we'll get out of here. So, Father in heaven, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the salvation that you've given to us, Lord. And I just pray for the week that's coming up. I pray that the machines would work well. I pray we would have good weather. I pray that we accomplish the goal of putting 5,000 Bibles together.